Thank you, Betsy. As you said, I'm Bill Joyce. I'm on the board of directors of the Community Foundation and a past chair, but specifically for this meeting, most relevantly, the chair of the Investment Committee for the Community Foundation. I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to join this call. Due to COVID-19 pandemic, this obviously is a time of great concern for everyone with many aspects to that concern. Our focus on this call will be on financial aspects, specifically investments in our, collectively your funds, and the impacts there too. But I would be remiss if I didn't voice our concerns, and I'm sure your concerns, for the health and well-being of our community, and especially for those in our community whose resources and impediments render them most vulnerable in this circumstance. The Community Foundation is immersed in collaborative efforts to be a part of the mitigation for those fellow citizens. We care deeply about our responsibility to do so, and rest assured, we recognize that as financial fiduciaries for your philanthropic investments, we also realize how important they are to our community's capacity for such a perspective in the broadest sense, not just now, but in the long term. That influences our investment approach. Appropriate risk-return balance, diversification, diligent manager selection and monitoring, proper liquidity levels, and not trying to time the market or overreact. It has served us well with the wise counsel of Colonial Consulting for 20 plus years, resulting in performance over that time period well above our market averages and our own benchmarks, as well as top quartile versus similar funds. Like 2001 and 2008, when markets plunged by similar amounts, so far at least in this circumstance, we appear to be doing the same outperforming of those averages, albeit still negative. But I will now turn it over to Mike Miller, Managing Partner for Colonial Consulting, for a more detailed review. Mike, could you take us out?
Yes, thank you, Bill. And I too wanted to, first of all, thank everyone for taking the time to be on this call today. And Bill, that really fantastic summary of a lot of thoughts. And I'd also just like to join Bill and the foundation in acknowledging how complicated a situation we face as a nation and in the world right now. And so this is, unfortunately, it blends into the investment side of things too, because these events are all very much interconnected. As Betsy said, I'd like to walk you through a few slides. I'm going to keep my remarks fairly brief, but I want to leave you with two quick thoughts before we walk into the slides. The first one being that, as Bill suggested, this is a very stressful time in many respects. It's also a very busy time from our perspective. We are very focused on ensuring that the foundation's assets have staying power, that they have liquidity, that every party that's involved with this foundation's, your assets, are acting in a rational way. We have to be sure that people are behaving in the way we would expect them to, which is to be calm, rigorous, and as unemotional as they can be in terms of how they make decisions. So it's a very busy time for us, and it's a very a complicated time as well. And so we rely heavily on a lot of the concepts that Bill referred to a minute ago, and I'll touch on that in a minute. But we also rely heavily on just having picked good counterparties, i.e. the managers and other service providers for the foundation, and then just verifying that they are, in fact, as good as we thought they were. The second thought I want to leave you with, in addition to the diligence and the, basically our continuous focus on what's happening in this portfolio, the second issue to leave you with is that this is one of those times where we do need to separate what the value of an investment is over time versus what it is at the moment. And so in a time like this where markets are in a state of complete panic, and I will talk about some of the factors behind that in a minute, it's easy to confuse the two and think that the market price is what an investment is worth. And I think it's important to remember that it's actually not what it's worth. It's what it's worth if you want to sell today. We have no need to sell high-risk assets into a climate of complete panic, and we will not be doing that. And we have a portfolio that permits us to, one, stay the course with our strategy, and two, fund the ultimately growing need for this capital as in terms of how serious this the current economic and health situation becomes. So you have to have both things right. But again, just keep in mind that some of the numbers we're going to talk about in a minute are just, this is what the portfolio would be able to sell today at fire sale prices, and not necessarily what it's worth. And what it's worth, just to be clear, is something, the question you have to ask yourself is, well, if I was going to sell it 6 months from now, what would the price look like? What would it look like a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? And when you get to those longer periods, one of the things you can definitely say to yourself is that COVID-19 will probably not be a major issue at that point, even in some of the worst case scenarios. A year, two, three, 5 years from now, especially 3 and 5 years from now, this will not be one of our issues. And prices will be different at that point. And that's where the quality of the investments that are being made and the decisions that are behind those investments is so important. So before we get into that, and some of the market issues, I would love for you to turn to the very first slide, because one of the things we did want to point out, and Bill just did a good job alluding to this a minute ago, which is that we have been through this before, not COVID-19. This particular market, I'll touch on in a second, is more complicated than some of the other ones, and for a variety of reasons, but let's just talk about what this page is showing you. So there are, I always did this before, there are 7 time periods shown. These are the largest losses the foundation's ever experienced in its pool. Now, the word drawdown, by the way, and you see the dates, what we're doing here is we're picking the absolute worst possible point in each of these cycles. Now, we have monthly data in most cases, not daily. We have daily at the bottom, as you can see. But we have monthly data, so we don't know. So the drawdown was essentially in the 1998 period, which lasted about 4 months, as you can see. The portfolio had a 14.3% decline. That's what it means. We then compare that to the S&P 500. So the S&P 500 was actually down 15.4% over that period of time. So that's what the numbers in this third column refer to, which is how much did the portfolio, in most cases, outperform the S&P 500. There's only one period, as you can see, amongst that whole group where it underperformed. So for the most part, the diversification and defensiveness of the portfolio become very valuable at times like these. The fourth column is how long, this is a really important one, because I just a minute ago urged you to almost pay as little attention as possible to what the fire sale prices are. And one of the reasons that you can do that, in our opinion, is that the prices change so quickly on the other side. And that's what good investing and good discipline do ultimately lead to. So I think it's kind of interesting that in basically all but one case, it was a year or less, 13 months, I'm going to call a year for a moment if you allow me to, where the portfolios had returned all the capital they'd lost to come back. And so that's this question that I'm asking you to consider about whether or not the value today is in fact the value. Because if 4 months or 10 months or 11 months later, the value is all the way back to where it started, you do have to ask yourself the question, well, how much should I be worried about the values in between? And I think that's important to consider. And then last column just shows you that actually in the worst case scenarios, in other words, we picked the most horrible time to start an investment program, which is the beginning of each of those first 4 drawdown periods. The portfolio didn't have outstanding returns for sure because of the poor starting point, but it had positive returns in every single one of the 5-year periods from those first 4. Now you'll see there's no 5-year periods listed for the last 3 because we haven't gotten to 5 years yet. So we will have to fill those out later, of course, as time proceeds. So now let's turn to the bottom, which is what's in here right now. And so this is the performance. And when we say January 2020, we mean from the beginning of the year through March 17th. Now, for those of you who are watching the markets today, these numbers have gotten worse. And I can talk about that if you'd like to later on. But basically, through last night, the portfolio was down 18.6% year to date. The S&P 500 was actually down 21.7%. If you were to upgrade that till today, you know, now we're getting this data is actually very solid. If you update it to what's happening so far today, the S&P is actually now down close to 27%, I believe, and the portfolio is down about 21%. Again, that's a very rough number, so I wouldn't go too far with that. The point, though, here is to consider, again, as I mentioned, that these drawdowns do occur. We have a strategy for dealing with them, which I can talk about. And we basically just try to stay ahead of the markets during these horrible periods and then be positioned to catch up quicker to where we started at the end of the day. So if you turn to the second slide, let's just take a look at what's happening right now. So this slide shows you the magnitude and duration of some of the worst S&P declines since 1950. And you might see a couple of interesting interesting things here, which is there's been some pretty horrific declines. So the red line on the very far left-hand side of the page, that's the current decline through 2 days ago. So it doesn't include yesterday, it doesn't include today. So I don't know if those two cancel each other out, but they're close, I suppose. Then you can see 1987 is to the right, 1962, and all across the page. Now, first thing you might say is, wow, some of these declines are even worse in terms of their magnitude than the one we've gotten now. And that's unfortunately true. And this decline could certainly get worse before it gets better. I think that's very, very important thing to consider. And that's one of the things we do think about. The second thing we think about and which you should focus on is just how quickly this has happened. So as you go to the right-hand side, as those lines move right, that means it's taking longer for the losses to mount. This one is as fast as we've ever seen. That's why the line is so far to the left-hand side of the page. It's not on the left-hand side because it's recent. It's there because it's happened quickly. So that's a very important factor here. And what's behind that, and this is back to the markets today, and it's both a cause of concern and some optimism too. Markets today are different than they've been in the past, and they were different in all these periods of time, by the way. And I think the things that are worth thinking about in this current climate are threefold. The first is that this is the first time in my career I can think of where we have had an unbelievably serious health situation emerge at the same time that we have a gigantic economic contraction going on in front of our very eyes because we're shutting down our system, of course, to try to control the health situation. So you have this combination where people are feeling very vulnerable in different ways. One is their health and their health of their families and their loved ones. And two, they're also feeling vulnerable financially at the same time because you're watching the value of the assets you hold and personally or through philanthropy dropping quite rapidly. So that's an extremely powerful combination of forces that create a lot of angst for people, you know, without question. The second thing that's happening in the markets right now, which is really important, one of the reasons there's so much volatility, is that it's impossible for anyone to really predict what's going to happen next. We don't know how long the COVID-19 situation will evolve. We don't know what's going to exactly happen in our healthcare system and those around the world. We don't really know how severe the economic contraction could be, how long it will last. There are scenarios where it comes very quickly back. There are scenarios where it doesn't. And so all of that unknown creates a great deal of stress on our system, and it creates a great deal of stress on companies. And so what is the value of an investment does get harder to know, at least in the short term. In the long term, it's not as big a deal, but it's a very big short-term issue. So point one is that people feel very vulnerable. Point two is that there's a very wide range of economic outcomes right now, and it's impossible to say, you know, what's going to happen with any kind of certainty. And then point three, and I think this one may really deserve some attention. It's a more complicated point, and I will oversimplify it, but if we have questions, I can try to go deeper. Which is that we're also living in a time where the markets have changed. The capital market structure today is very different than in the past. And the major way to, and we're not finding villains here, I'm just pointing out things that are going on. The major difference is that we have a tremendous amount of computer-generated trading. We have a tremendous amount of levered investors that essentially into a decline will become sellers. And so the system becomes almost unstable on its very face. And a lot of the panic you see in prices that are going on right now, it's less about individuals making decisions. It's more about computer trading essentially creating its own problem, so to speak. So a price declines, that triggers more selling. It's if those of you who are old like me, you might remember the portfolio insurance, what that did in the 1987 crash. And this is the same thing, except almost worse. And so my point is that there is a bit of an artificial thing going on here, which is these are not rational people trying to figure out what companies are worth. These are instead computers just trading because that's what they've been taught to do. And so again, we're not villainizing them, but they are part of the system. And, you know, there are estimates that over 90% of the trading that goes on today is done by computers. And so that's a really important factor. It's probably one of the reasons, not the only one, as I mentioned earlier, that red line is as sharp a decline as you've seen in the beginning of that left-hand side of the page. If you turn to the next page, hopefully this will give you some comfort, which is that this is not an all-equity portfolio. It's a very diversified portfolio. We own stocks, which is the 59% you see at the top of the page. We own bonds. We don't own a lot of them, but we do own some. And we own hedge funds and private assets. And all of these things have different cycles of behavior, different ways of behaving. And we've talked about that in some of the meetings over time. But I can tell you that, you know, at the moment, we are losing most of the money that you saw in that loss number before comes from the stock portfolio. The bond portfolio is down very little at this point, which is what we would expect. And the hedge fund portfolio and private asset portfolios are also down, but far less than the public stock market portfolio at the top. So we have essentially the benefits of a diversified portfolio at work. Last but not least, and I'd be happy to turn this over for any questions you might have, we do have a playbook. I mentioned earlier the diligence and the rigor of the analysis, ensuring that, just to be clear, that we have investments that are able to survive a more extended downturn. That's a very significant, you know, point on the micro level that we're very focused on and the managers are very focused on. So avoid heavily leveraged balance sheets. Stick with businesses that are important for our society and need to survive. You know, these are very simple rules, and then don't overpay for things. Now, beyond those issues, we also think about three other points, which is the how do we think about the overall positioning of the portfolio.
Mike?
Yes. Yes.
Could I just interrupt you for 1 second? We asked earlier that everybody mute their phones, please, because we're getting feedback on it. Mute your phones, please.
Thank you, everybody. So on this last slide, there are three major points that we think of. One is to be consistent. And then for those of you, it was more fun to talk about this in a theoretical standpoint, but consistent means that one of the things Bill, the committee, and I will be working on in the days and weeks ahead is whether or not we need to rebalance the portfolio. We'll also be working on items such as, are there managers out there that we would have always loved to have hired, but we couldn't because they weren't close to us, and maybe now we can add capital to places that we otherwise couldn't.
Yeah, I think it's downstairs, remember? Your lunch.
Oh, hello? Sorry. So basically, be consistent. And consistent is not a fun thing to do at a time like this, because what you'd rather be is inconsistent, which is, let me just see how things turn out. Let me wait till things calm down. These are very natural human emotions, but they're actually not consistent in the sense of keeping a portfolio positioned the way we'd like it to be. The second point, which is, again, both a cause of great anxiety for all of us and also great promise for this portfolio, is that there is an inverse correlation between how difficult this job is in terms of overseeing your assets and what the potential rewards are. The more charged a climate becomes, the more volatile a climate becomes, the more opportunities exist for long-term investors. We are seeing, I have to tell you, on the individual security level, talking to the managers, we are seeing levels of return potential that are just stunning. I will give you one example. We have a position in the portfolio in a company where, in the worst case scenario, this is not a company with a lot of debt. They're in a very safe business. A manager that we work with in the foundation portfolio believes that in the worst case scenario, i.e., this is a business related to natural gas, that this business will have basically the stock from this price has a 25% annual return for the next 4 years. That's in a scenario where basically the economy collapses and natural gas prices stay very, very low. In the base case scenario, which is that we actually do have an economic recovery in the next few years, the base case return expectation is 50% per year. So those are the kinds of opportunities, and there's 100 of them in this portfolio right now, which you get when markets are in a free fall because the prices are not at all connected to the reality of what the next 3 to 5 years will look like. So again, an ugly, ugly thing to think about, because we don't really like people suffering for sure, but this, unfortunately, this climate does, or fortunately, I guess if you think long term, it does create opportunity for portfolios like this. And last but not least, as I mentioned a minute ago, scale is a wonderful thing. You know, $400 million plus of assets allows the foundation to do a lot of things that are hard to do with smaller portfolios. And last but not least, with an incredibly capable investment committee that is, you know, available to me, foundation, and essentially you by extension on a moment's notice when there's something important to be done. And you know, they're the most amazing partners you could ever ask for from my perspective, and that's something I hope gives you great comfort, because they're very much on top of this and making sure that everyone is doing their jobs appropriately here on our end too. So I will stop there and see if there's any questions you have or any place that I can expand upon.